Our scripture reading for today, Romans chapter 1. I read the entire chapter. We finished up to the end of verse 18. I'm going to focus in on verse 19 this morning. The brief mention to verse 20, that verse requires its own treatment. But hear now the word of God, Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you. Also, even as among other Gentiles, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We'll end the reading of God's word here, and may God have blessed it as you have heard it. You may be seated. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, the psalmist said, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of his heart be acceptable in his sight, or in your sight, his strength and redeemer. May that be true of us as I seek to hold forth the truth of your word today. Help us to honor you, not only in the holding forth of your word, but in its receiving. May it honor you and bless the souls who listen. In Jesus' name, amen. It would not surprise me that most people, even a majority of people, even all people, whether saved or lost, true believer in the living, true and only God of the Scriptures, or the lost idolater who needs to repent and believe the unique and only saving message from God in the biblical gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it would not surprise me that most people, even a majority of men and women, even all people made in the image of the one living, true, and only God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would dislike being told that they are an ignorant person. Oh, I just love being told that I'm ignorant. Very few people like being told that they're ignorant, and that their ignorance is showing by what they are saying. But there have been times, probably many, where I have displayed the fact that I have displayed my ignorance, showing that I am an ignorant person. Just ask my wife. Now, before you start thinking, does this mean you have an ignoramus speaking before you today? Although some ignorant of what I actually know and believe would be displaying their ignorance of me by saying or thinking I was. But I looked up the meaning of the noun ignorant and the adjective, I looked up the meaning of the noun ignorance and the adjective ignorant in Webster's 1828 dictionary. Summarizing what I read, ignorance, a noun from the Latin ignorantia or ignoro, meaning not to know. Not to know, the want or absence of knowledge, the negative state of the mind, which has not been instructed in the arts, literature, or science, and I would add today, things true about God. It may be general or it may be limited to a particular subject. Ignorant, an adjective from the Latin ignorans. Someone being destitute of knowledge, uninstructed, uninformed, untaught, unenlightened. So a man or a woman can rightly be called ignorant, meaning no disrespect or demeaning of that man or woman, despite the ease with which it is possible to take offense at being called ignorant. Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth that you are ignorant of what getting vaccinated could result in and be ignorantly called a purveyor of misinformation? But a man or a woman can rightly be called ignorant and be displaying his or her ignorance when they say something that shows they display a clear lack of knowledge about some subject or subjects. Something that is not true about man's knowledge of God. Based on what Paul awesomely declares in the verse I have reached in Romans 1, verse 19, truth I will seek to open up today. But for anyone to doubt or ridicule what Paul writes in verse 19 simply testifies to their ignorance of what the Bible clearly teaches, and their foolish rejection and suppression of what the Bible, God's creation, and their own consciences tell them and teach them, which is a reason for why the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. In this world today, as Paul declares in verse 18, clearly showing you why the biblical and saving gospel of God that Paul faithfully preached is mankind's only hope, and not the demonic, not great reset being pushed today, despite the number willfully ignorant of this truth. But before looking at all, at who all men are not ignorant of, despite the foolish and false claims of the many in the world today, being atheists or agnostics, truth I will return to, I want to illustrate how truly ignorant many, but not all, non-believers are by a statement that many of them make that clearly displays their ignorance, as I defined a few moments ago. Now, they probably would be even more offended if I was to call them ignoramuses because of their statement. But by proudly making such a statement, they show that they are what they deny being, ignorant. But how many non-believers ignorantly think and even say that in order to believe the Bible, you have to stop thinking? In order to believe the Bible, you have to put your brains, if that is where the awesome non-physical reality of thinking takes place, because the living, true, and only God thinks perfect thoughts infallibly, but he has no cerebral cortex. And if a cerebral cortex is absolutely necessary for thinking, one would have to say God doesn't think, and that is pure, unadulterated, demonic heresy. But how many ignorantly, and I would say foolishly, think that to believe what the Bible teaches, you have to put your brains in your back pocket? For anyone, especially in the intelligent 21st century, to believe what the Bible teaches is to give up thinking. I have had ignorant people reply to something I have written based on what the Bible teaches, telling me that I should give up reading a book of myths and fairy tales, referring to the Bible. Such is the depth of ignorance in faux Christian America today as to what the Bible actually teaches and infallibly declares. Now, to be fair, there have been segments of Christianity, if they can really be called Christianity, that have disparaged thinking. Emotion is all that matters to them. But such misguided believers, if they are true believers in Christ, need to be instructed in the scriptures, even as the non-believer does, who thinks believers are ignoramuses for believing what the Bible teaches. And if you don't believe what the Bible teaches, you are not a Christian, even if you misuse the name Christian by calling yourself one. A non-Bible-believing Christian is the same thing as a square circle or a man having labor pains. They don't exist. But what right do I have to expose the foolish ignorance of those claiming that to be a Christian requires you to give up thinking? What right do I have to say that? The very first word I've reached in verse 19. The very first word I've reached in verse 19 of Romans chapter 1. But before focusing on the word that begins verse 19 of God's providentially preserved written word, just making the statement, what is the first word of verse 19? and building a biblical argument on this one word in context is not an easy thing to do today, even in the churches. Why? Not that the word is hard to say, being only two syllables, because. But how many Almost Bibles do not have the first word that I'm directing your attention to in their Almost Bibles? Friends, people who think that destructive textual criticism is no big deal and has not hindered the unity of the church and the ability of the church to accurately teach and preach the Word of God are ignorant of the negative effects of this tsunami of Almost Bibles supported by the Jesuits on the translation committees that have produced them. But that, my friends, is a message for another day. But what is the first word of verse 19? It is the word because. It is the word because. And what is the word because? It is another conjunction. It is another joining word which Paul infallibly uses to expand on and give you another reason, not only for why the saving gospel of God is man's only hope, but why God reveals his wrath from heaven. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. And the English word is a translation of that awesome Greek verb which refers to existence. Something exists in all men that testifies to the truth that they have been made in his image. Truth that I will return to. But God is not revealing his holy wrath against innocent, ignorant people, but against those who are actively suppressing what God has clearly revealed in them about himself. Verse 19 again, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for another conjunction, for God hath showed it unto them. Now the word, the conjunction translated because, is not used as often as the conjunction translated for, also found in verse 19 at the beginning of verse 18. But nevertheless, it is a joining word. It is a word that destroys the ignorant idea that believing the biblical gospel, that believing what the Bible teaches on anything and everything it teaches on, requires you to put your brain, your thinking in neutral and just emote. Like the ignorant Ephesians who, rather than listening to what Paul was declaring about God, cried out what? Great is Diana of the Ephesians for almost 2 hours. Not unlike those marching and shouting to protect the sin of abortion through their ignorant slogans and bodily gestures. Now, in showing what Paul's repeated use of conjunctions like for and because are, is clearly showing something. It's showing you something. It is showing you horrors. It's showing you the importance of thinking. Of thinking. Of thinking correctly. And the last thing I am encouraging or even teaching by this is the disparagement of godly affections, of godly emotions. For the knowledge of God and his saving gospel, rightly understood, rightly believed, something true of only true believers in God, should fill you, believer, with wonder, awe, amazement, thanksgiving, and praise. That's what the true knowledge of the gospel should fill a believer with. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Not Don't tell me we're singing that hymn again. No. The truth should ignite your soul in love and amazement to God that he would save a wretched sinner like me. This godly thinking moves the affections and the emotions. For the last thing I am saying or supporting by stressing the importance of thinking is Spockism. What is Spockism? Acting like the emotionless science fiction character Spock on the 60s TV series Star Trek. Believers are not Vulcans! Believers are the redeemed saints of the God who manifests wondrous love and mercy and grace towards them. Just the facts, ma'am, without any emotional response to those facts. To use another line from a 60s TV series is not biblical Christianity. And there are Calvinists who can argue, and they have no emotion for the love of Christ. It's all cerebral, if that's where thinking takes place. But to be amazed, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder why he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. What's this emotion? But anyone who ignorantly thinks and teaches that believing what the Bible reveals and declares means giving up all rational, sound, even logical thinking and showing, dare I say, gross ignorance of the Bible. For if this was true, what would you not have the Bible filled with, especially in the book of Romans? Conjunctions. Joining words. That the infallibly guided Paul and God the Holy Spirit, who's infallibly guiding Paul, are using to tell you that you need to think and reason and see that Paul is not speaking gibberish like the many today who speak in non-tongues today and the many who want legal recognition and protection for their mythical genders. For what is Paul doing when he uses the conjunction because at the beginning of verse 19? As I said a few moments ago, he is giving you another reason for the just wrath of God being revealed from heaven against mankind. God is not venting his spleen, not only because he doesn't have one, but because when God displays his holy wrath, it is for just, holy, and righteous reasons. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And notice what begins verse 20, the conjunction for again. More reasons for this just and holy wrath being revealed from heaven, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Believer, if you want to have your believing mind expanded and stretched on who knows how many subjects you may need to be corrected on, especially God, or show that your thinking about him, about them is correct, read the book of Romans. And don't rush over the conjunctions that are clearly showing you that Paul and God are giving you reasons for things. In this case, reasons for the holy wrath of God. Oh, the wonder of God's revelation in the Bible. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. God doesn't want you to be ignorant, believer. He doesn't want you to be ignorant. Foolish, ignorant, unbelieving men may have their slogans, ignorance is bliss. But such a foolish statement simply shows that person's willful, sinful ignorance of the God of the Bible, who wants you to know things. And he wants you to know why things are the way they are. And it shows that they are actively suppressing the truth that God has been pleased to reveal about himself to all men, as shown by what Paul declares after the because in verse 19. And after the for in verse 20. The living, true, and sovereign God is not a tyrant like many in power today who think that just because they say something, it should be believed and obeyed and practiced. Wear a mask. Get vaccinated because Mr. Anti-Science tells you to do so. God's not like that. God is not like the tyrannical, often tired or preoccupied parent who doesn't want to take the time to explain something to a child. For maybe this is a caricature, maybe not, but how many children have dared to ask their mother or father, why? Why do I have to do this or that, or not do this or that? Why do I have to believe this and not believe that? Tommy, take out the trash. Why? Because I told you to. Is that the right answer? Yes, if the parent has taken the time or takes the time to explain why, even as God gives reason after reason for why he's justly revealing his holy wrath from heaven. Why should I take out the trash? Because I'm not asking you, son, to do anything sinful. And children are called by God to be obedient to their parents. So anyone who caricatures biblical Christianity, saying it means you have to jettison thinking, is clearly displaying their ignorance of both God and his written word. For in verse 18, Paul declares what God is revealing from heaven, his holy wrath, and why. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. But notice, Paul, under the infallible inspiration of the Holy Spirit, doesn't end there. Why do I say this? Because of the because that begins verse 19. And what follows the because not only shows that the last thing true Christians are non-thinking people, for Paul gives another reason for why God is revealing his holy wrath in the world through the many storms that truth-suppressing sinner man has experienced and is continuing to experience. And as I said, Paul will give more reasons in verse 20. Oh, the condescending wisdom and goodness of God towards sinful man. Does God owe an explanation to anyone for what he does? No. He's sovereign. He has the ability and right to do what he wants, when he wants, for however long he wants, because being God has its privileges. But lest foolish men dare accuse the thrice holy living God of being tyrannical, God gives you reason after reason for the just and holy nature of his holy wrath that he reveals against sinful man that is only solved through believing the biblical gospel that Paul faithfully preached and was not ashamed of. And what Paul gives is another reason for the holy wrath of God being displayed from heaven upon the earth today also shows that anyone who claims to be an atheist or an agnostic is a truth-suppressing liar. Atheists and agnostics are truth-suppressing liars. Why do I say this? Because of what Paul declares after the because in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Atheists and agnostics are truth-suppressing liars. Why do I say this first? What is an atheist? An atheist is someone who foolishly says God does not exist. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. Psalm 14:1 and 53:1. But why are atheists fools? Even lying fools. Because of what follows the because in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God. Paul is not saying that man can know everything about God, because only God can know himself perfectly and does know himself perfectly, which is a testimony to the truth that God, the Holy Ghost, is God, not just a force or power like electricity. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. But an atheist is a truth-suppressing liar, because Paul, under the infallible inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, says that there are things that can be known about God. But not just can be known about God, but are known about God by all men. He or she is someone who says, he or she or someone who says there is no God, there is not enough evidence. An agnostic, what's an agnostic? An agnostic is someone who says there is not enough evidence to prove or disprove the existence of God. They want to appear less opinionated than the truth-suppressing atheist. The jury is still out in my mind as to the reality of God. No, it's not still out. You are no different than the atheist. The atheist says God doesn't exist. You say there is not enough evidence for the existence or the non-existence of God. But what does God say through Paul? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. There are things that can be known about God, are known about God. Friends, it's not a lack of evidence. It is your not wanting to believe what the evidence about God from God is telling you. That there is a living, true, and only God who you are rebelling against and rejecting through your pious-sounding agnosticism. God has made the truth of his reality known, and you're daring to say that there isn't enough evidence for you to make a decision, yea or nay. You know what that is? That's calling God a liar. That's what it is. Agnosticism is calling God a liar. If it is possible to say anything good about a foolish atheist, he boldly displays his suppression of the truth about God that he is suppressing by saying there is no God, God doesn't exist. But the agnostic, as I said, wants to appear less opinionated. Even a seeker after God, despite his calling God a liar by daring to say there isn't enough evidence for me to get off my truth-suppressing, truth-denying fence. It is not a wise thing to call the God who cannot lie a liar. And don't fail to notice where Paul declares that God has made the reality of his existence known, not just in the creation around us, truth that Paul will show in verse 20, but in a creation much more up close and personal. In every person, male or female, who has lived, is living, or will ever live. Because that which may be known of God, that which man is capable, of knowing about God, apart from the saving revelation of God in his biblical gospel, is manifest in them, is known in them, is apparent in them, is clearly seen in them, exists in them. Other verses that use the word translated manifest. Just a few examples. Matthew 12, verse 16. and charged that they should not make him known, not make him manifest. Don't declare the truth of who he is at this point in his sinless ministry. Mark 4, verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, not be made known and apparent. Acts 4, verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men, for that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest, made clear, is apparent to all. Then that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, made clearly known, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What a day that's going to be. Paul is saying that there is something in man, man as male and female, that there is something manifest in you, something apparent in you that shows you, apart from a person's active, willful suppression of it, that shows to every man, woman, boy, and girl that there is a God that has made them and to whom they are accountable. What is the thing that is manifest in man? What is it that is apparent in man? What is it that is clearly seen in all men, except for the sociopaths and psychopaths in temporary power who have seared it, although they reveal it by the wicked things they think are right and want to see implemented? But what is it that shows to all men, if they were not foolishly and dangerously suppressing and distorting that which manifests, that they are creatures made in the image of the living truants? Only God, simply put, it is their conscience. Simply put, it is their conscience. Their ability to say that something is right or wrong, as all men do. Now, this is not to say that what they are saying is right or wrong is true or false. Isaiah warns of the warped nature of the consciences of men when he says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. But notice, they're calling something good. They're calling something evil. Should they call it evil? No, they should call it good. Should they call it good? No, they should call it evil. But they're calling something they see as evil, evil. They're calling something good that they see as good. But the very fact that men call things good that they should be calling evil and call things evil that they should be calling good testifies to the truth that they're made in the image of the God who infallibly declares what is good and evil. The fact that even the most arrogant atheist or agnostic says something is right or something is wrong, regardless of what they are saying is right or wrong according to the scriptures, the very fact that they do, and they do, testifies to God's testifying to them. For God has shown it to them. Because, friends, look at it simply this way. You don't see any animal declaring things that are right and wrong. You don't see any animal taking any other animal to court. Where's the wildebeest taking the lion to court because he killed his little one? You'll never see it. Only those made in the image of God who declares that which is right and wrong take others to court and say that something should or should not be done, regardless if what they are saying should or should not be done, as I said, and is supportable by the scriptures. And in most cases today, it is not. But what is the arrogant, God-denying atheist or fence-sitting agnostic doing? What's he doing? I'll paint a scenario for you. What's an arrogant, God-denying atheist or fence-sitting agnostic doing? When he comes out from enjoying a meal at the local non-mushy Mexican restaurant and sees that someone has taken a knife And he's used it to scratch the sides of his new cherry red Porsche. Who did this? Where are the police when you need them? Where's my lawyer? What are they doing when they say such things? They have stopped suppressing the truth of the fact that they are made in the image of the righteous and holy God, who will judge the defacer of their car if they do not repent, even as he will judge the atheist and agnostic who defaces the image of God they have been made in by calling the things God calls good evil and the things God calls evil good. Because, friends, ethics are impossible to grow in the soil of demonic evolutionism. All a consistent evolutionist can rightly say in the face of such things he sees as unjust and wrong, if he was being a consistent evolutionist, which few are. But the only thing he could rightly say based on his evolutionary presuppositions, its evolutionary worldview, if he was to go outside and find his new Porsche all scratched up, the only thing he could rightly say is, it is what it is. That's all he could say. It is what it is. But every time a person, regardless of who they are and regardless of whether what they are applying, the use of these two words has biblical support, for as I said earlier, because of the horrendous big biblical ignorance in both America and in many of the churches in America, many of the things that these two words are used to support or oppose are wrong. But every time anyone uses the words ought or ought not, or this is right, or this is wrong, he or she is manifesting truth. Manifesting the truth about the God who infallibly knows what a correct use of ought and ought not are, and what is right and what is wrong. Because the Lord alone can infallibly declare, and does infallibly declare, what is right and what is wrong. Read the Bible. The ignorant atheist and agnostic who expresses outrage at something he sees as wrong needs to be challenged to face the truth of who it is that has given him the ability, even his warped ideas about right and wrong. For God hath showed it unto them. Now, do they acknowledge this? No. Which is the reason for what? Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The atheist and agnostic deny the reality of what they're calling things right and wrong reveals, but they can't escape the consequences of their denial and suppression of the truth, the wrath of God that he reveals against such willful suppression. Such ignorant fools need to face the truth that the saving gospel of God is the only hope of his being saved, not only from the wrath that God is revealing upon the earth today, but the wrath of God that he will reveal against all those who foolishly labor to reject the reality of their being made in the image of God that is heard every time they say something is right or something is wrong. And if the Lord has shown you the truth of his saving gospel through his gifts of saving, repentance, and faith, may you never be ashamed. May you never be ashamed of declaring and confessing the truth that he alone could have shown you, that his saving gospel is the only message that can save those denying that they are made in the image of the God of all truth, even as they display they are by expressing moral outrage at things both right and wrong. Let us pray. O Lord our God, help us to remember that every time we express agreement with something or disagreement with something, if we say that is right or that is wrong, you are giving us testimony again to having been made in your image. That is not to say every time we say something is right or wrong, we are right or wrong. We have to check what we think is right and wrong against your word. Your word is a light shining into our dark minds. And so, Lord, we pray for the many, even in this country, who show that they are made by you and yet deny it. If they were consistent, they would never express annoyance or being upset at anything. But every time they do, whether it's right or wrong for them to express annoyance at what they are expressing annoyance at, they are showing that you are their creator. Give them the wisdom to see this, and they will see how much they need the saving gospel of God. Help us never to be ashamed of the truth that you alone have shown us who we are through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.